Amen. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Praise God. I enjoyed that time in praise and worship, didn't you?
Yes.
Seemed like we could have just built three tabernacles and stayed there a while. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Wednesday night adult Bible study. Adult Bible study out here. Glad you are here. Glory to God. Glad you are with us online. Glad the teenagers and the kids are being taken care of. And we're going to start tonight by looking at two Bible openings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but then we'll also be in Hebrews 6. So 1 Corinthians 13 and then Hebrews. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then Hebrews chapter 6. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, this is where God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us the characteristics of divine love, the love chapter. And in verse number 4, 1 Corinthians 13, 4, says, love, charity, love, suffers long. Amen. Or is long suffering. Love suffers long. Love is long suffering and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, but love suffers long. Glory to God. Now, most translations say love is patient, and some translations say love patiently endures. So love is long-suffering, it suffers long, is patient, or it patiently endures. And then look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's begin with verse number 11, Hebrews 6, 11. We'll read down through verse 15. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience you inherit the promises. Verse 13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So here, you know, we see the word patience and patiently endured. Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. King James Bible says through faith and patience. In Hebrews 6:15, it says he patiently endured. So we see that love suffers long or is patient or it patiently endures. Love does that. And we see from these two scriptures, these two passages, that we through faith and patience, everybody say faith and patience.
Faith and patience.
We through faith and patience, or through patience and patient endurance, what do? We inherit or we obtain the promises. That's always interesting to me because the word in the Greek translated patience or long-suffering found in, whether it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4, whether it's Hebrews 6, 12 that we just read, or Hebrews 6, 15 that we just read, is basically the same exact Greek word, basically the same word. Talking about faith, patience as it relates to love, and patience as it relates to faith. Slight difference, you know, one time it's used as an adverb or, you know, words can be plural, non-plural, and so forth, but it's the same exact basic word. And so W. E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says this. He says, I'll quote it in a minute, but he's making the point that patience or long sufferings as it relates to people, being patient with people, as it relates to people, and he says, and I quote, is the quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation. That means when they tick you off. Is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish, is associated with mercy, and it is used of God. Amen. So with people, we are to be long-suffering. That means you suffer long with them. You know, if you slap them back, so to speak, you didn't suffer anything. But patience, he goes on to say, or patient endurance, as it relates to standing on the promises or standing in faith, he says, and I quote, is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of being despondent and is associated with hope. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm 90% better, I promise you. My throat just doesn't know it yet. So patience or long-suffering, as it is used in the New Testament, has two main meanings. Same word. There are other words, but all these scriptures, same word. Has two main meanings, two main sides. Both sides have to do with dealing with and enduring things or people that are trying and difficult. Anybody ever deal with any difficult people? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't look at anybody. So both sides have to do with dealing with or enduring things and people that are trying and difficult, or dealing with things that put pressure on the flesh not to endure. One side has to do with enduring people that are trying and difficult, and the other side of the coin has to do with enduring circumstances that contradicts God's word that are trying and difficult. So we all from time to time have to deal with somebody that's being difficult, somebody that's hard to deal with. And from time to time, we all have to deal with contradictory circumstances. What I mean by that is circumstances that contradict the truths of God's word. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Praise God. And so the solution to both of those is patience, but you have to use the word patience right. So we are to patiently endure people who are aggravating, hard to deal with, hard to get along with, and in whom in one way or another are getting under your skin, provoking you to anger. You have to do that without getting out of love. If you get out of love, you didn't endure anything. Without getting out of love. Can you say amen? Amen. And we are to patiently endure trials. We are to patiently endure contradictory circumstances that deny the truths of God's holy word without getting out of faith. So we're patient with people without getting out of love, and we endure the tests and trials of life without getting out of faith. Patience puts up with trying people, but it doesn't put up with circumstances that contradict the word of God. I want to say that again. Patience puts up with trying people, difficult people, but it doesn't put up with circumstances that contradict the word. We, with patience, suffer long with and put up with people who are aggravating us, are provoking us, because they're being difficult. And there's 1,001 ways that people can be difficult. They can abuse their authority. They can just be being hateful. They can just be agonizingly slow. You ever been in the checkout line when somebody was agonizingly slow? Geez, I wanted to get up there and run the cash register for myself. Let's get this thing moving here, you know. Glory to God. But biblical patience, when it comes to faith, watch this, doesn't just passively accept things that contradict God's word. That's not what the word patience or endurance, sometimes translated perseverance as it relates to faith, that's not what it means. No, we suffer those things. In other words, we do deal with them, face them. We suffer those things without getting out of faith. Glory to God. Now, in operating in both sides of this is extremely important. Or let me put it this way, operating in both sides of patience. Patience with people, patiently enduring the circumstances without getting out of faith, is extremely important to us as followers of Christ. Amen. In other words, you're never going to be very successful unless you learn how to do this. One has to do with our ability to walk in love, and one has to do with our ability to walk in faith. How many of you know it's important to walk in love and walk in faith? And the early church, you know what they call patience? They call patience the queen of all virtues. Yeah, the queen of all virtues. Because you see, they were tempted because of extreme persecution that they faced. They were tempted to go back into the world. And for different reasons, today people are tempted to go back into the world. But you can't do that. And then when it comes to obtaining the promises of God, if you quit believing, if you don't endure the circumstances and you quit believing, then you won't obtain anything from God. You won't receive any of the benefits from God. And then we all know how important it is that we walk in love. That's the great commandment of the New Testament. So they call patience the queen of all virtues. So let's look at these two sides. 1 Corinthians 13:4 again says, love is patient, love suffers long. Now what's it talking about? It's talking about love as being patient with people. Everything about the characteristics of love, I forget, there's 15 or 16 of them listed in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 that God gives us through Paul. Every one of them has to do with how you act toward, respond, or deal with people. Love is patient with people. Love is not boastful toward people. You know, love is not easily provoked. Now, it all has to do with how you react or respond to people. And so love is long-suffering with people. Love deals with other people. It responds to others. It interacts with others. It treats other people with patience. And you know, how many of you know everybody needs patience? So why do we have to be patient or suffer long with others? Because sometimes other people aren't nice. Sometimes people are harsh. Sometimes people are demanding. Sometimes people treat you in a wrong way. Sometimes they are just inept. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you think you're trying to do something right, you know, with a website or login, and you realize, oh, I'm doing it the wrong way. It's never going to work. But, you know, this morning, because I lost my phone, and so we looked high and low and low and high over and over and over again, had to go get a new one. And so, you know, they said, well, you'll never get your contacts. But within an hour, my contacts all came back. Hallelujah. And then they said, well, your photos are lost forever. But I didn't do anything. All of a sudden, my photos just showed back up. But, you know, none of my apps showed back up. And, you know, you got apps that you pay bills on, and you got weather apps, and you got sports apps, and you got insurance apps, and all to make it easier for you. You know what I'm talking about. And so I was, and of course, to do every one of those, I mean, I got a thing that long of user IDs and passwords, and, you know, they make you change it from time to time. So it's all going pretty smooth, but on this one app, I just couldn't get it. Finally, they sent me a thing saying, this is your user ID. It's not your normal mark at ccfchurch.us. That's my email. They said, this is your user ID. You just need your password. So now you can reset your password. Go to the reset page. I had people come in and look at my computer. You go to the reset page. You know, they sent me a link, you know. I hit the reset, and you go to it, and it was just a generic thing. There was nothing on. You know how it is. There's usually a place where you reset your. There was nothing on that page about resetting your password. I sat on my head and looked at it. I looked at it sideways. I called Caleb to come in and look at it. I punched every button on that page, and it would take me back to the same thing and say, now you can reset your password, and it'd take me back to that page. I was glad I was dealing with a computer and not a live person. Because I thought, I'm dealing with something that's you know, sometimes you just deal with something that's slow, something's frustrating, something inept. That's why you have to be patient with others. In other words, they do something that ticks you off. You understand that terminology, don't you? They do something that tries your patience, that annoy you, or irritate you, or aggravate you. Never mind. Even today, you might have got irritated at some point. That's why the Moffat translation says love is very patient. Hayford translation says, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. The Weiss translation says, love meekly and patiently bears ill treatment from others. Now, because this helped me one time. I was dealing with somebody that I needed to be patient with, and they were very trying, very difficult. And so the Lord took me on this path one time. I want to talk about being What does it mean to be impatient? You know, sometimes to see what something is, one of the best ways to see what something is to see what it isn't. We learn that way. And so the opposite of patience is impatience. And if we're impatient with others, then we're not walking in love. And if we're not walking in love, then our faith won't work. So what does it mean to be impatient? By definition, dictionary definition, impatience really has three main characteristics. Number one, if you're impatient, that means you're showing or having a tendency to be quickly irritated are quickly provoked. And you know, you can train yourself to be quick-tempered. You can train yourself to be, you know, angry. But you can also train yourself not to have a short fuse. You really can. And so if we're impatient, which is the opposite of patience, then we're quickly irritated, quickly provoked. Synonyms for this particular definition of impatience is irritated, annoyed, angry, testy, cross, and short-tempered. Glory to God. Number two, the word impatient, which again is the opposite of walking in love and patient, means unable to tolerate delay. Doesn't sound very spiritual, but I wonder how many people don't get answers to prayer, don't get their healing, don't get their prayer answered, don't experience some victory, and they don't relate it back to the fact is they are just intolerant of any kind of delay whatsoever. In other words, they're not long-suffering. They're not walking in love. and they've opened the door to the devil in their life, and they don't realize it when they're lying there flat on their back. But you know, sometimes delays are just unavoidable. But what about being put off or forced to face a delay because of someone else's unconcern? By the way, when I was trying to get my password for that thing, I finally said, I'll just call the phone number. And so when you call the phone number, it's like, okay, here we go. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're going to have to listen to a 10-minute sales thing. And so I pressed zero. And they said, medical department. And I went, what? And I said, I'm trying to reset my password. And they said, okay. And then they started giving me that sales pitch. I just want you to tell me how to get my password. So sometimes we all have to deal with delay, unavoidable. But if we have to deal with delay because of somebody else's unconcern, because they're being inept, because they're slow to a fault, because of their lack of honesty, amen, amen, because they're lazy, you know, that's a different matter altogether. Glory to God. But even if somebody unnecessarily causes us delay, does that give us a right to walk out of love and hate their guts? Of course not. To get angry, to lose your cool, say things you shouldn't say. You know, you can have your say. I heard Keith Moore, Margaret and I heard him the other day. We're just getting dressed and walking around the room, and I'm about to leave and, you know, only half paying attention. But he said, you can have your say. You can have your say. He said, but it's going to cost you. That's a good point. You can have your say, but it's going to cost you. Maybe just momentarily peace, or maybe something much greater. But it's going to cost you. Glory to God. So that's it. But love is long-suffering with imperfect people. Joyce Meyer said, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Amen. So this second part of being impatient, which is not being patient, which is not being long-suffering, which is not walking in love, is unable to tolerate delay. And I tell you, that's a big thing in life. Brother Hagin would always say, some people are patient all right, but they're not very kind while they're being patient. But love is patient and kind. Everybody say, and kind. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then number three, dictionary definition, main connotations of the word impatience is, impatience is unable to endure irritation or opposition. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are a lot of different ways, amen, that people can try our patience. But if we lose our cool and go off on them and respond to them in an unkind way, then we don't suffer them and we're not being patient. So we all have to work at this. Can you say amen? Amen. We are to endure others without getting out of love. Endure, I like that word endure. Endure means to bear with tolerance, to carry on despite hardship. It applies to both sides of what we're talking about. To suffer patiently without yielding to the flesh. Amen. You know, if somebody slapped you and you slapped them back, you didn't suffer anything. You just yielded to the flesh. So we bear with other people. We suffer them patiently without getting out of love. But when it comes to the things that try to move us off the truth of God's word, patience has a different connotation. To patiently endure means we don't yield to doubt and discouragement. We don't give up. We don't stop believing. Glory to God. We don't lose our faith. We don't become despondent. We don't waver in the face of opposition. We refuse to be moved off the word despite the hardships that we're dealing with. Amen. Biblical patience, or patiently enduring some test or trial, is not just passively accepting what's going on in your life with a sweet spirit. That's what you kind of hear in churches all over the world. You know, just whatever the devil does to you, whatever happens to you in life, you know, they're wrong thinking on the sovereignty of God. Teaching is, if it's happening to your life, it's God's will for it to happen. Well, that's not true. That's obviously not true. It's not God's will that any perish. Not God's will that anybody die and go to hell. It wasn't God's will that the Israel's of enemy, the enemies of Israel defeat them, but it happened. You know, no. Why does the Bible tell you to resist the devil? Why does the Bible tell us to stand in faith if we weren't supposed to stand and resist against certain things? But people's attitude generally is, well, if it comes at you, then automatically it's God's will. And though it's beating you up and bloodying your nose and destroying your family, destroying your finances, destroying your health, you're just supposed to put up with it and just accept it with a sweet and kind spirit. But that's not what the Bible's talking about when it says through. You know, you don't inherit the promises that way. I mean, let's look at those scriptures again that we just read. Hebrews 6:12. Look at it again. Look at it again. You do not become sluggish, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises. Abraham. God made Abraham a promise. How many of you know it didn't look like that promise was coming to pass? But we know from other scriptures that Abraham, you know, I love that message. God, Abraham, a covenant and a contradiction. God gave Abraham a promise, but his circumstances and symptoms contradicted everything that God said. And the Bible says that Abraham wavered not. He was fully persuaded to believe God and did not waver in his faith. Amen. Praise God. And because of that, you know, Isaac was born. That's why God chose him. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And then verse 36, we read that a while ago, Hebrews 10:36. If you have need of, we didn't read that, but let's look at that. Hebrews 10:36. If you have need of endurance, King James says patience. A little bit different word here, but it means the same thing. For you have need of endurance or patience, King James, patience. Other translations say you have need of patience, endurance. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. Let's read that in context. Glory to God. You really have to go back all the way to chapter to the very beginning. But therefore you have need. Don't verse 35. Therefore do not cast away. Don't give up on. Don't let go of. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith. Don't cast away your belief in God's word, your confidence in God's word, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, gives up and quits and doesn't live by faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. No chapter and verse in the original scripture, you know. Often say, you know, just making a point. You never wrote a letter to your mother and said, Dear Mom, chapter 1, verse 1. This was a letter. There was no chapter. It all flows together. So this is talking about faith. This is talking about believing God. This is talking about don't draw back. This is talking about don't give up. Don't quit because you face persecution. Don't quit because you face opposition. Don't quit because of because of what the devil says. Amen. In these scriptures, patiently enduring means to not give up. Don't quit believing. Stay in faith. That's how you overcome. That's how you obtain the promises. Excuse me. Andrew Womack defines this word. Patience is faith. He defines it this way without the golf. He says, patience here means faith that endures over time. Faith that endures over time. That's what patience is. He said, we can't just believe for a moment and then fall away to unbelief when circumstances go against us. We have to believe and then continue in faith, parentheses, have patience. To continue in faith is to have faith, is patience. Continuing in faith is patience until the desired end comes. I want to read that again. We can't just believe for a moment and then fall away to unbelief when circumstances go against us. We have to believe, then continue in faith. In other words, have patience until the desired end comes. As I've said for, I don't know, over 30 years now, I always say you have to get in faith and stay in faith. If you get in faith and stay in faith, you get results. But a lot of people a lot of people don't know how to get in faith, but sometimes people get in faith, but if they don't get answers pretty quick, they don't stand in faith. They don't stay in faith over 10 minutes sometimes, sometimes just over a day or two. I have had so many answers to prayer and so many wonderful experiences in God and so many breakthroughs and so many financial blessings that happened to me after I stayed in faith for 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 3 months and sometimes longer. And so just to make a point to people that are well-versed in some of these things, I say, what's the difference in a person that has never heard one single message on faith never heard one single message on faith, doesn't know anything about faith, doesn't know anything about confession, doesn't know anything about standing in faith. Not the least. I mean, zero, zero. What's the difference in them and somebody else that has heard Brother Norville preach and Brother Hagin preach and gone to their Bible schools and you know, they know what faith is, they know what confession is, and they honestly, truly get in faith, but then they don't stay in faith because they don't exercise the power of patience. As far as getting results, what's the difference between them and somebody that never heard a single thing about faith? Neither one of them get any answers. Because you have to stand. And having done all to do, stand. And sometimes you have to stand come hell or high water. And sometimes it looks like it's hell. Sometimes it feels like hell. And sometimes it looks like you're going to go under. And sometimes it looks like you're not going to make it. But you just stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you have to get in faith and stay in faith to get results. Not just to be a faith master, to get results. Amen. So learning to stay in faith, everybody say stay. And not be moved off the word because time goes by. You know, delay is not denial. Glory to God. I said delay is not denial. Or because of contradictory circumstances and feelings is the difference between success and failure in the faith walk. I want to say that again. Learning how to get in faith and stay in faith. Regardless of the time, regardless of contradictory circumstances, that's the difference between success and failure when it comes to the faith walk. Amen. And so I like this. I got this from Brother Rick Renner, you know, a few years ago. Boy, that's lovely. That's all right, Jack. Don't sweat it, man. No, that's cool. I like it. Glory to God. He said this, and it really got my attention, you know. Because even when I read this, this isn't one of his sparkling gems. Even when I read this, I mean, I taught on faith and patience hundreds of times then. But he said, in the earliest years of the church, believers faced long periods of unremitting persecution. They were confronted by a host of hostile powers that were arrayed against them. The pervading immoral cultural, pagan religions, secular government, unsafe family and friends, all of these external forces put constant pressure on the early believers to give up their faith and return to their old ways. But the early believers firmly believe that if they had, this is under where he just quoted Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance. You have need of patience. He said, but the early church believed if they had this patience, they would survive and outlast all the opposition. That's why they referred to this spiritual characteristic as the queen of all virtues. It was believed that if a Christian possessed this one virtue, they could survive anything that came against them. Believers understood that if they endured, that if endurance was operational in their lives, the question was no longer if they would overcome their battles, but rather when the victory would come. But here's what really got my attention. He said, the way this word was used in those days was in a military sense, when soldiers were given an order in the midst of a fierce battle, they were to stand their ground. In other words, we've got to have you. I know you got 150 coming against you, and I can only give you 12 men, but you cannot lose this ground. You cannot lose this hill. You've got to endure. You've got to stand. You've got to defend every inch, no matter how difficult the challenge. Their goal was to see that they survived every attack and held their position until they outlasted the resistance. These soldiers had to indefinitely and defiantly stick it out until the enemy, realizing these soldiers couldn't be beaten, decided to give up and retreat. The word means, conveys the idea of steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. So here's what got my attention. We know it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. The very definition of the word patience means that you are in an intense battle, that you are in thoughts are coming at your mind, you're being challenged, the devil's yelling at you, your circumstances are yelling at you, everything you can see, everything you can feel is screaming at you and saying, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. But you don't give up, you don't quit, and you don't let it faze you. You stand there and say, I'm standing on the word of God. What God says about me is the absolute truth, and I will not be moved by anything. That's the very definition of the word patience. And it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Abraham, after he patiently endured, obtained the promise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to make it very far in the faith walk, then you're going to have to learn to believe and keep on believing, even when things look bad. So here on a different place, he says, people often throw in the towel and quit. He's quoting again Hebrews 10:36. Excuse me. People often throw in the towel and quit when they don't see results as quickly as they want. Amen. You know that scripture, we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, glory to God. Hallelujah. For we shall reap in due season. You know when due season is? Almost always longer than we want it to be. We shall reap if we faint not. People often throw in the towel and quit when they don't see results as quickly as they want. I'm amazed at how short-lived some people's faith really is. If their prayers for healing aren't answered immediately, they allow their flesh to convince them, for example, that it's God's will for them to be sick. Or if they sow their finances and believe for a financial harvest but don't see the harvest in a matter of months, they're tempted to think that everything they've been taught concerning prosperity must be a lie. The problem is these Christians want quick microwave answers to problems that probably took some time to develop. They need to give their faith time to work. Most people quit before their faith has time to fully work. These folks need a good dose of patience to go along with their faith. You see, faith and patience are partners. You need both to receive the promises of God. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The word patience means to endure or to stay under. It's a picture of a person who is under a heavy load, but has resolved. You like that? But has resolved to stay put in that one spot, regardless of how. I could probably hack tonight and do a good, good preacher. It's been so long, I don't know if I remember how to do it. It's a picture of a person who is under a heavy load, but has resolved that to stay put in that one spot, regardless of how hard or heavy the load gets. This person is thoroughly committed to maintaining his position. He will stay in that spot as long as it is necessary for him to achieve victory. He is intent on standing by his commitment, regardless of the cost he must pay. Nothing can sway or move him to change his mind. He is not going to relinquish his territory. I call this bulldog faith. Bulldog tenacity in and of itself is not faith, but real faith does have bulldog tenacity. Did you get that? I said, just being bulldog, having bulldog tenacity in and of itself is not faith, but real faith does have a bulldog tenacity. You see the difference? I call this bulldog faith. It's a faith that manifests as a tough, resistant, persistent, obstinate, stubborn, tenacious spirit that refuses to let go of what it wants or believes. If you haven't done well in the past in standing firm in your faith against the pressures of the enemy, don't feel condemned. Just receive this as an encouragement from the Lord to get back up and go for it again. To experience a breakthrough regarding a difficult situation or trap that you've struggled with for too long, you must take a bold stance of faith and stand still. Praise God. Faith has a focused desire. It knows what it wants. It doesn't vacillate. It never moves. Faith stands still in one spot. So make your bold confession of faith. God, this is what I believe for. This is your revealed will for my life. And I'm not moving until I receive the fulfillment of it. You must have this type of patience if you intend to beat the devil at his game and successfully do what God has called you to do. Endurance is absolutely essential if you intend to stay in the fight until your enemies are under your feet and you move victorious. Believe me, friend, with this kind of faith working in your life, it's not a matter of if you'll win, it's just a matter of when you'll win. So keep your arms of faith wrapped around the promise, dig in your heels, and refuse to be moved. I don't know about you, but that's my kind of language right there. I said, that's my kind of language right there. So we are to patiently endure others without getting out of love, and we are to patiently endure tests and trials without getting out of faith. Amen. And I've had so many breakthroughs when I've done this. I haven't told this story in a long time, but I remember way, way, way back. This is 1978, because I'm going to Rhema. And I was attacked with much worse. I mean, I don't really feel bad right now. It's just, but I was attacked with it. Just flu symptoms and fever and aches and pains. And it felt like the hairs on the back. Do you know you have hairs back there? But it felt like each individual one of them hurt. And so, you know, I'm going to Rhema, you know. We're hearing the Word of God 3 hours a day. And then I'd get out of Rhema and I'd go to work. And I worked from 2 to 11. And I worked at Oral Roberts University and I was a security guard there because I'd been a policeman and I just got a job working there. And, you know, they hired me. I was glad for it. I ended up working at a place where I was at a station where it was the library, and the top floor of that was where Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts and one other office, the big money man, that was their office. And I was at a place that nobody could come through. Students couldn't come through, and workers could come through, and just Oral and Richard and people like that could come through. And that was my station. But when I first started working there, I worked at one of those gates, you know, like a security guard, you know, just a gate. Graduate student houses, the graduate students would come in. And so I'm working at that gate, and I'd, you know, push the button to let them through, and that was my job. Of course, when I went to work there, they said, look, man, you're overqualified. They said, we only have 2 security officers on the whole campus. And we said, we don't need one. You qualify for one. I said, I just want a job, man. I didn't come here to get it for a career. I'm going to Bible school. I just want a job. So they gave me a job as a security guard. And what I ended up with, just in a matter of a couple of weeks working at that desk, that was a much better job. It was inside, air conditioned. I worked from 2 to 11. Nobody ever came through there. And I just sat at my desk and read my Bible. And, you know, right across the hall from me was a girl that was in charge of the phones. I don't know what you call that. All the incoming calls or some kind of reception. And they required that, you know, it was a student. So they said, we want you to walk her home at 11 o'clock back to her dorm because it's, you know, it's dark. So that was my job. It was a great job. But anyway, when I was at that security gate, I was working there one day, or I was scheduled to go to work, and I mean, I felt as bad as you could feel. Now, I wasn't dying, but, you know, I've had cancer. I tell people, you know, just no fever make you feel worse than if you had cancer sometimes. And so I had feverish and all that kind of stuff. So, but bless God, I believe that I'm healed and faith acts, so I'm going to work. And so I'd put my shoe on. And I mean, it was like, Margaret, get down here and tie those for me and put my other shoe on. And that, I mean, that literally takes 20 minutes to put my shoes on. But I'm going to act on the Word and I'm going to be a doer of the Word. And not just because somebody else told me to do it, because I believe I'm healed. And so I go to work at that guard station, you know, and it's 3 o'clock. And I mean, I feel really, 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 really bad. But I'm standing in faith. I'm not being moved. I'm through faith and patience. I'd learned that. I believe God, I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. I'm making my confessions. I believe I'm healed. And so they had a little clock there. And it was kind of one of those like you know how you used to have those flip calendars? Well, this clock was old-fashioned. That's how I'd do it. It flipped from 3:01 to 3:02. And over the side was a dial. And it'd be like, you could see the seconds run off. So I've got to be there at 11 o'clock. Praise God, I am the healed. It's 3 o'clock. I look at the clock. 3 o'clock and 22 seconds. I look at the clock and it's 3:01 and 5 seconds. I look at the clock and it's 3:02. I look at the clock and it's 3:02 and 49 seconds. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a long 8 hours. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Glory to God, I am well. I am whole. Now, you can just lay down under and not do anything, but, you know, I'm learning. I'm using my faith. Praise God, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And so across the you know, there's a field right across from me, and these students are over there, and they're having some kind of little party. And they've got all these party-type foods, party trays, you know, cheese and sausage and little, what do you call it? I don't know. Hors d'oeuvres. Well, normally, I mean, you know, I mean, I'd eat like a pig over that stuff. That sounded real good, you know, celery and, you know, cheese sticks and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, when you're feeling like I am, I mean, just the thought of that food, just, you know, gotta watch yourself. But one of those beautiful, lovely college girls thought, I'm just going to be real nice to the security guard and take him a plate of that food. So she brought me a whole plate of that little food. It's like now it's like 3:06. At 3:04, I picked up the phone to call my boss to tell him I had to go home because I was sick. But I slammed it down before it ever rung and said, bless God, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And so the little girl brought me the food over there. It's like 3:06, 3:07. And I said, thank you. That's really sweet. And I'm going, oh, God, that's disgusting. But then I thought, you know, normally I would love this. We was half starved anyway. You know, it's believing God for every penny. I'm Don't have time for that, but I mean, I'm, you know, yeah. And so, and I got to thinking, well, bless God, I'm going to act my faith. So I started picking that stuff up and eating it and just touching it and just tasting it. It was like 3:07. I forget the exact time, but you know, before 3:10 hit, every single symptom I had, like you had snapped your fingers, totally disappeared and was gone. Hallelujah. Was it worth sending in faith? Sure it was. So that you don't put up with this for the next 3.5 weeks, or so that you don't die of cancer, or so that you can feed your babies, or so that you can pay your rent, or so that you can have a sound mind, or so that you can have a good home life, or so that you can overcome whatever the challenges of life are that come to you. Praise God. Having done all to stand therefore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I might have had greater victories, but none meant more to me than those first early days in those victories. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you're going to practice being patient with others. And part of being patient is how you handle yourself when somebody is making you wait and somebody is being aggravating and somebody's being... That doesn't mean that they're your best buddy. That doesn't mean that you don't have to make some decisions. That doesn't mean you don't have to do what's the right thing to do. If you're a boss, you have to correct. If you're a parent, you have to correct. It doesn't mean that, you know, that's a whole other ball game. But you're going to be patient with people in the sense that you're not going to get out of love with anybody. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And if you do that, you do well. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.